From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. California's newly elected governor, Gavin Newsom, will give that first State of the State address at 11 o'clock this morning. Since Sunday night, though, he's been making news with his decision to pull National Guard troops back from the Mexico border, defying an order, it seems, from President Trump that was issued in April of last year. Cap Radio's Ben Adler is at the Capitol in Sacramento in the midst of preparations for this morning's speech. Hi, Ben, and this may not be the most important question, but how long is the governor saying this speech might be?
Good morning, Beth. We don't know exactly how long it'll be. Of course, that depends how long some of the applause goes. However, let's just put it this way. The average length of a Jerry Brown State of the State speech and an Arnold Schwarzenegger State of the State speech were, 21, 23 minutes in that range. Gavin Newsom once posted a series of YouTube videos that amounted to a 7.5-hour State of the City address when he was mayor of San Francisco. I would expect this one to approach or perhaps even surpass an hour.
Oh, yeah, at least. I would not be surprised if it goes longer than that. So let's back up to this National Guard story. The written statement came at some point Sunday night, very early Monday morning, announcing this troop withdrawal. And this is something that New Mexico's governor had done last week. But yesterday, Gavin Newsom put his voice to it and talked more about it. You want to take it from there?
Sure. And we should say that New Mexico's governor was a Democrat replacing a Republican who had deployed their National Guard along with the Republican governors of Arizona and Texas. Now, California's Democratic governor at the time, Jerry Brown, deployed about 360 National Guard troops to the Mexican border. And Governor Brown at the time made clear they were not to be used for building a wall or for immigration enforcement. But as Newsom said yesterday, there has been some gray area. They were operating cameras. If they see someone cross the border, they're going to alert people of it, whether it is someone legal or illegal, because you're not supposed to cross the border except at a port of entry. So that's one example. And of course, they're backfilling for work that federal troops and federal ICE workers would have otherwise been doing. And so Newsom is pulling nearly all of them off the border. Not all. He's leaving about 100 there for some narcotics work, for some counter-drug work. And let's listen to him from yesterday at a press conference at the state capitol.
No one should be surprised by this. I was very vocal on the campaign trail about this. I was very, I wasn't critical, but I was cautiously, I was cautious and concerned about Governor Brown's original agreement, made that clear to him publicly and privately. And I think the only surprise, frankly, is that these guys were able to convince me that there was actually some really good work being done down there as it relates to drug trafficking. And I was willing to concur with that and continue to have 100 folks down there.
All right, Ben, it's being reported that there's no direct reaction or response from President Trump to what's happened. But what kind of reaction are you hearing in the state or beyond to this move by the governor?
Well, as you would expect, there's praise from Democrats. And in a moment, we'll find out what one Republican member of the legislature thinks. But yes, I did not hear back from the Department of Homeland Security, and that's where the White House referred me to for comment. So, to my knowledge, and I may have missed it, but to my knowledge, the president did not mention this last night at his event in El Paso.
All of this sets the stage for today's State of the State address. And in a departure from past addresses, it's been excerpted as far back as Sunday night. We're hearing bits and pieces of what the governor plans to say. Can you set the scene a little bit more and tell me about the plan?
Sure. So what the excerpts we have right now simply deal with the National Guard. And so what he's going to talk about, as we've reported, is just simply how he's going to compare to the State of the Union from last week. And he's going to say, we heard another president offer a vision of America fundamentally at odds with California values. He described, referring to the president, a country where inequality didn't seem to be a problem, where climate change didn't exist, and where the greatest threat we face comes from families at the border seeking asylum from violence-stricken countries. And so he's saying, I've given the National Guard a new mission. They will refocus on the real threats facing our state. Among them, by the way, and I haven't mentioned this yet on the show, but about 100 troops for wildfire suppression and prevention.
So California lawmakers obviously have their own issues and agendas. They're going to be listening for certain particular points, and let's explore that a little bit more.
And I'm joined here at the state capitol by Republican Assemblyman Vince Fong, who represents Bakersfield. Thank you for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
So as a Republican, what do you look for in a speech today from a governor whom you very much disagree with?
Well, I think we have a new governor, but the same issues that plague our state are still there. I mean, you look at traffic congestion has gotten worse in our urban centers. Housing affordability has not gotten better. We have a cost of living affordability crisis that faces our state. If you talk to anyone in California, no one disagrees that it is expensive to live and work in California. And we have public safety concerns. And so those are the things that, as I travel up and down the state and travel throughout my community, that's what they talk to me the most about. And those are real concerns, and those are quality of life issues. And so my hope is that the governor will outline real reforms that we can work together on to address those concerns.
Reforms like what?
I think when it comes to traffic congestion, we got to build more roads. And so, you know, can we streamline our environmental laws to allow us to build things? When it comes to housing affordability, it's CEQA. We have to streamline the process of fast tracked more affordable housing. When it comes to public safety, you know, we have to address Prop 47, Prop 57, and the early release programs that have existed and that have put more criminals into our communities. And so those are some of the things that I would hope that he would address. You know, we have homelessness issues. We have the highest poverty rate in the country. Those things are driven because it's expensive to live in California. And so we have to do things differently. And my hope is that he'll give us some ideas of how to address those concerns where we can work in a bipartisan fashion.
When you're referring to CEQA, that's the California Environmental Quality Act, and Prop 47 and 57, those are some of the public safety reforms that voters have put in place over recent years. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, Governor Newsom announced he's ending the deployment of most, but not all, of the California National Guard troops at the Mexican border. Good move? Bad move? Irrelevant?
Well, I think that, you know, the governor is trying to, you know, score some political points. But, you know, we shouldn't be playing politics with border security. I think if you talk to everyday Californians, you know, national security and border security are important to them. And we should be working with our federal counterparts. We shouldn't be fighting or resisting them, especially when we're dealing with drug trafficking, we're dealing with human trafficking, we're dealing with things on the border that are serious concerns to America. And so, look, if he wants to score political points, he probably got the headlines he wanted. But at the end of the day, we're in a results-oriented business where people's lives matter and public safety matters and border security matters. And at that point, we need to be working with the federal government, not fighting them.
And on that note, finally, you're very close with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. You were his district director down in Bakersfield before running for the assembly. Now, when Governor Newsom and to a somewhat lesser extent Governor Brown make a point of criticizing President Trump on immigration, on climate change, on health care, on things like transgender troops in the military, on many other things, how do you react to that? What goes through your mind?
You know, and from speaking personally, my wish is that Republicans and Democrats in California and in the federal and in the national government begin to start working together and finding common ground. And so if they want headlines, then they can make their talking points and they can score political points using rhetoric. But at the end of the day, when it comes to wildfires, when it comes to making sure resources come to California, when it comes to building roads, when it comes to affordable housing, I think those on the federal level want to work with us in California. And so finding those issues of common ground, building water infrastructure, getting, you know, building things to help our state and improve our quality of life, those are the things that we want to work on. And I think when I talk to folks on the federal level and folks in Congress, they want to work with us. And so, look, you know, they can get headlines all they want, but at the end of the day, I want to help people in California, and I think people in Congress want to help people in California, too.
All right. Republican Assemblyman Vince Fong, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We'll see you down there at the State of the State.
Look forward to it.
All right. So, Beth, we're awaiting the arrival of Democratic Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie Norris. She'll be coming in a couple of moments. But now you and I have a couple of minutes to preview the State of the State a little bit more.
I'll say that I'm talking with Cap Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, Ben Adler. And in partnership with KQED, we will bring you live coverage of Governor Gavin Newsom's State of the State address starting at 11 o'clock. By the way, there is an archive of California State of the State messages going back to 2004. 4. It's at capradio.org. This is really a great site, Ben, for anybody who's wonky or wants to hear more about how the different governors, especially in their first terms, approached this address to the state. And I know that that's heavy on the mind of this governor, and yet he operates, as we saw with the budget message, very much from the focus that he has a lot of things he wants to say to people in the state.
As we reported last week in a fun little California Dream feature, in style as well as in substance, in many ways, Gavin Newsom is going his own way from Jerry Brown. Brown, well known for picking one or two things to focus on prominently at a time, whereas Newsom clearly so far has many different balls in the air. It's a difference of approaches. It's actually somewhat reminiscent of folks who were covering state government and watching state government back in the 1970s and 80s, somewhat reminiscent, they say, of Jerry Brown during his first governorship. Mm. Now, Jerry Brown chose to govern differently in his second governorship. He said he had learned he needed to focus a little bit more. And so I think Newsom is, again, going his own way, and we'll see how that works out for him. Newsom is just a different person than Jerry Brown.
The PolitiFact California team will be fact-checking today's speech. That work has already begun with some of the comments that have been made in the last 48 hours about the National Guard situation. I do want to jump ahead to a question that I might have saved at the end, Ben, but do you have a sense of how important the governor thinks the state of the state message is?
Well, I think it's probably best to let him use his own words. This was a pretty funny response he gave last week when he was at Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento. He was wearing a Tom Brady jersey doing community service because he lost the Super Bowl bet to Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. And someone asked him about the state of the state, and here's what he said.
You know, the state of the state, no one's excited about states of the state.
Why not?
You know, I don't know. I mean, we all act like we're excited, but let's be honest about it. So, I know my place. And, they're not necessarily the most memorable moments in our lives. So forgive me in advance. All right.
Not the most memorable moments in our lives.
Yes. I'm excited. Maybe I'm just weird that way, but I'm excited for today. And I think someone next to me right now is also excited for today because she is a brand new lawmaker, Democratic Assemblywoman Cottie Petrie Norris of Laguna Beach. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning.
So what are you excited about today?
Well, I think you're right. I think that a lot of people are excited. I think expectations are high for Governor Newsom's first State of the State address. I am really interested to hear how he frames, I think, some of the big challenges that California is facing alongside some really incredible opportunities. And I always think that he does a phenomenal job of acknowledging the brutal reality of some of our challenges while painting, I think, a very hopeful picture of his vision for the future of California.
Now, your district in Orange County flipped along with Democrats taking back the House of Representatives last November. It is not necessarily the most liberal district in the state. Are there proposals from the governor, like universal health care, universal preschool, that you're concerned your constituents might feel fiscally irresponsible?
So I am a businesswoman. I've got a background in banking. And I think one of the things that's most important is as we think about these big programs for California is thinking through how are we going to pay for them. And I think it's important to make a case to not just my constituents, but to people all across California that we're being ambitious, but we're also being fiscally responsible. And I think that's something that Jerry Brown did such a good job of is making sure that California is on a strong financial foundation. And that is something that I do expect Governor Newsom to continue going forward. And another thing that's a real priority for me is I'm chairing the Assembly's Accountability and Administrative Review Committee. And
which to a listener might go, what?
What is that?
Yeah.
So we are tasked with ensuring that government is operating efficiently and effectively. And I think for me, one of the things that I'm really interested in doing is making sure that as we're passing legislation, as we're introducing some of these exciting and groundbreaking programs, that we're also accompanying that with a really close look at, are things getting implemented properly? Is money going to the places that we think it's going to? And are these investments having the benefits that we expect? And so I think that we can do more on many dimensions on ensuring that we're being accountable and accountable to the people that hired us and the people that pay our salaries. And that's, you know, the citizens of California.
And yet when you say that it's important to be fiscally responsible about universal preschool or universal mm-hmm. healthcare, it is easy to say that. It is a lot harder to accomplish those goals and yet at the same time be fiscally responsible, especially when we've already seen budget projections fall short, or rather revenues fall $2 billion short last month of projections.
I think when we look at things like universal preschool, I think it's really important to think about it in the context of the long-term view. So we know from studies that have been done in the United States and in countries all over the world that every dollar we invest in universal preschool returns something like $5 to $10 over the lifetime of that person's life. So we know something like universal preschool isn't just good because it's a nice thing to do. It's also a smart thing to do for people's lives, for our communities, and to ensure the long-term economic prosperity of California. That being said, what we need to do is make sure that as we phase in programs like that, that we, I think, do so incrementally, and that we do it so that we're making strategic investments and then seeing those benefits. You know, it's really hard to make a huge transition like that, I think, in one fell swoop.
And finally, Democratic Assemblywoman Cadi Petrie-Norris, you represent Huntington Beach, the city that Governor Newsom is suing for, in his view, not doing enough to build affordable housing or, for that matter, any kind of housing. You and some of your colleagues who represent other parts of the area in the legislature are asking the two sides to negotiate. Do you think there's a real compromise that could be reached? And if so, what would that compromise be?
So I am still hopeful that we're able to, you know, sit down at a table with a mediator and resolve this outside of full-blown litigation. As you mentioned, it's not just my view. It's the view of my colleagues in the Assembly and in the Senate on both the Democratic and the Republican side. I think that when we get in a situation where the state's suing the cities and the cities are suing the state, unfortunately, all of our time, resources, energy then are spent in defending these lawsuits rather than solving what is a real problem of housing in the state of California. I mean, I think that a compromise would be Huntington Beach moving forward with a plan that they had proposed a couple of years ago, which is including in their general plan an affordable housing area on an area called the Beach and Edinger specific plan. So I think something like that would meet the demands of the state, would, you know, meet the demands of the community, and would let them move past, I think, you know, the threat of a very expensive and drawn out lawsuit.
Do you feel the governor's picking on this city in your district to score a political point? I mean, any other city could in theory be a target of a suit.
I wouldn't say that he's doing it to score a political point. I think that he is doing it because he has, I think, felt like for many years he's been saying, you know, housing's a priority. There's been members of the legislature that are saying housing's a priority, and that cities have not been kind of catching up with the increase in demand. That being said, I think from my perspective, I think certainly when we look at a situation where something like 97% of cities and counties across the state are out of, quote, compliance with the state's housing targets, I think, you know, obviously we are in a housing crisis. And I think that we need to look at some of the structural underpinnings for why we're in that space rather than just kind of, you know, setting new goals, setting new targets. I think we've shown that that's not working. We need to figure out what's going on. What are the structural hurdles that we as the state and we as the legislature can help to smooth so that we can get more housing supply online?
All right. Democratic Assemblywoman Cadi Petrie-Norris, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to talk to you.
All right. And so, Beth, there you have a view from a Democratic assembly member, a Republican assembly member. And we are about an hour and a half away from Governor Gavin Newsom's first State of the State address.
One last question, and I'm
sure
going to ask this of my guests in the next segment. What's your estimate for how long this speech goes today?
I don't know.
I'm looking
if
for
I
a number.
I mean, I'll go with let's say 65 minutes, and
right.
I'm just pulling that out of the blue.
Okay.
This is not an educated guess. I need to say that.
All right. A lot of good information in this segment. Thanks so much to the assembly members for the interviews, and to you as well, Ben.
You're welcome.
That is CAP Radio's Capital Bureau Chief Ben Adler. He will be part of the live coverage of the State of the State address, which begins at 11. You can hear it on our air or streaming at capradio.org. Up next, a conversation with some Democrats and Republicans. What are they going to be listening for? You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.